And we are recording. Okay. Where were you when you heard the news that the war was over?
I was in Frankfurt, Germany.
I guess to be more specific, the victory in Europe.
The victory in Europe had been confirmed at Versailles.
Mm-hmm.
And the war was over. So the next thing for us was to get put together and head home.
Okay. And you were in Frankfurt then?
I was in Frankfurt, Germany, yeah.
Okay. And where were you when you heard the news that the war was over for Victory Japan?
Oh.
The victory in Japan in August.
In Japan.
Hello.
Are you about some food?
Yeah. I was in Japan, in Frankfurt then too.
Okay. How did you feel about how the war ended? About the dropping the bombs and...
I didn't know a great deal about the atomic bomb until we saw some pictures of it. And I didn't see those until we got home here in the United States. And when I saw that, what that atomic bomb had done, it made one wonder. Because, my gosh, there was whole areas, the buildings were knocked down, piles of bodies, I don't remember now how many Japanese civilians were killed,
yeah.
Hundreds of thousands, I believe.
Did you feel that President Truman made the right decision?
Well, I don't know, I don't know. Germany and Japan had joined up, but there was no evidence that I ever saw of the two powers being in cahoots at all.
Well, in fact, that was actually the reason why...
Excuse me, you have to have a couple of bandages, did you?
Sure. Right here, as a matter of fact.
That was actually why we went to war with Europe, with Germany, after. No one had declared any war as far as with the United States. Japan, after Pearl Harbor, then it didn't take more than a week or two to declare war.
Yeah.
And no more than, I think it was 17 days later, Germany declared war on us just because we declared war on Japan.
Right.
So that's evidence that they were allies with each other.
Yeah.
So, but in many ways, World War II was pretty much we were fighting two wars. One in Europe and one in Japan, in the Pacific.
Right. And if you think about it, we also had, at that time, an ally with Russia.
Yeah, kind of an odd especially for what was going to go on after the war.
Yeah, well, even during the war, I don't know if you know how many Russian pilots flew airplanes home from Great Falls.
I didn't know any did.
Yeah. Okay, we used to see, or I didn't see them, but my wife at that time would see Russian pilots on the streets of Great Falls. They'd come over, stay a day or so, and get into lease aircraft and fly home.
Okay. What were your expectations once the war ended?
Well, Beckman Brothers, where I worked before the war,
right.
They had my job back. They gave me the job back.
That was the tire business?
No, that was in the fur business.
Oh, that was the fur one, okay.
Yeah. So, I went back to work for them and worked a couple of years, and the fur business just went off into nothing.
Fur didn't become very popular after a while.
Yeah.
It wasn't as big as it was in the 20s.
Yeah.
Well, the American furriers people had discovered a way to make man-made fur coats.
The fox fur?
They were called mouton.
Mm.
mouton fur, and there was all kinds of them. Women bought them, when men bought them. And the fur business went to hell, so I got out of it. I shouldn't swear on that tape.
It's not like we're in any regulations with the FCC, so. What was the trip home like?
What was who like?
What was the trip home like, and how did you get home?
Oh, well, we came by Britannica, was a British ship that had been converted to a troop carrier. And it went right back to Boston. And when we got to Boston, we were taken off, went to some barracks overnight, and a day or two later, we were split up. Now, the fellows that went west got into one train, fellows that went south went into another train, so on, at Boston, and I went into one that went west to Montana.
Okay.
So I wound up right back in Great Falls a week later.
While in the war, did you make many friends?
Well, I made a friend in a Frenchman in France. I made several real good friendships that lasted a few years with other American soldiers from around the United States. I don't remember they weren't real good friends, but you made friends, yes.
How did it feel to leave them behind?
Well, we were glad to get home. Everybody was glad to get home. I felt good about it. When the war ended, Bedell Smith was appointed and took a job as the ambassador to Russia.
Okay.
And he called me in the office one day after the war was over then and asked me if I'd like to go to Russia as part of his group and be a chauffeur in Russia. I would go from staff sergeant to master sergeant, and we would take that same armored car to Moscow. But I really wanted to go home, and I told him so, and he says, I thought so. And in this book here, he sent me he wrote a letter out, or had a letter written out, and signed it, that I could use to, if I could get a job someplace with his,
is that the letter of recommendation I sent you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That one that I mentioned, I would really like to copy.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you keep any contact with anyone from the war?
The one most important person that I didn't write to any or make much contact with other fellows that was in the service, but I got a letter from Prince Bernhard of Holland after I got home. They had tracked me down through the military and where I was in Montana, Great Falls. And I'll be darned if I didn't get it. That was amazing to get a letter from Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So he told me to write back to him, and I did. And that's when his mother awarded me the Orange Medal. House of Orange.
Yeah.
Which was a Dutch family, I guess.
Good.
So they sent the medal to me, and I got it. A wonderful, wonderful big medal. My daughter's got it now. She lives in Phoenix.
Okay. Can you remember what the first thing you did when you got home?
I don't remember. That's 60 years ago.
Third life then.
I went home. I was glad to get home. That one had rented a basement apartment. I remember that lady that owned the house, Molly Randall.
Okay.
In Great Falls. And I got my job back and went from that to here.
How did the people react to you returning home?
Well, everything was backslapping. They were glad we won the war, and everybody that was in the Army got credit for it. All the civilians said, well, good job, and all that sort of thing.
So, did your community seem any different when you got back?
No, I think it was the same as when I left. It got better, though. There's one part that didn't get better. When I got back from the service, gasoline was 38 cents. I remember that. You know what it is today.
I wish it was 38 cents now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it wouldn't have cost me about $30 to fill up my tank this morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Good Lord, but them A-Rabs are really fixing us. You won't put rent. You won't print no A-Rabs, I know. But
how is civilian life different from military life?
Oh boy, nobody telling you where to go or what to do. You do what you like, pretty much.
A lot more comfortable.
A lot more comfortable. A lot more comfortable. You get up in the morning, and you know, and Kathy can tell you that. Mm-hmm. I get up at 5:30 in the morning to this day.
Hmm.
I've never got over that.
I was up 6.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's a lot of people.
Man, I was up till like 2 a.m. last night, just getting ready for the trip.
Yeah.
So I work at Walmart in Billings.
Oh.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, and I had to work till 11 o'clock last night.
Oh, okay.
And since I've been working and going to school for the last few days, that was the only chance I got to pass.
Yeah.
Back.
Oh, my. So. Now, is that, when we go into Billings from here, you go down 191, 87 when you get to Grass Range.
Mm-hmm.
Is Walmart on that end of town then?
The one I work at is. There's two Walmarts.
We went there.
Yeah, we did.
There's one on the west end, which is the bigger one. That's coming off the I-90.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Yeah.
As if you're like coming from Laurel or Red Lodge or something. And then there's the one that I work at, which is on the east end or east north end of town, which is the Billings Heights.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's the one I work at.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What was the easiest adjustment once you got home?
Oh, you go from military life to civilian life. It's a night and day change. You actually, there's no atmosphere of civil people or civil ideas thrust upon you. You're pretty much left to do what you want to do. Which is rather strange, because you're wondering, well, are you supposed to, or who do you ask, or what?
Yeah.
See. Right.
Okay. I guess you kind of touched on this, but what was the most difficult?
I think probably the most difficult, well, I don't know if there anything was difficult, but it was strange to go in a grocery store and buy your groceries. Or it was strange to get in your own car instead of going to the motor pool and getting your gas tank filled up. For free, you drove away, you had to pay for it. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
What benefits did you receive from military life, and how did you use them?
Well, the benefits for military life, I don't know if there were any. I left them all right there.
Well, you got more experience driving a car.
Yeah. Well, the most the most difficult time, you remember, that Cadillac was a right-hand drive.
Mm-hmm.
It was all right in Europe, in Britain, but when you got across the channel in France, then you drove on the left side of the road, but you had a right-hand drive. And that was
most cars have right. Most cars there have right-hand drive, but they still drive on the side we do.
Well, the car you drive today is a left-hand drive.
Right.
Yeah. But if you were sitting on the other side and you had to obey the left-hand rule, that's what's difficult. You don't know. You find yourself going down the road. Hey, I'm on the wrong side of the road.
Australia is the same way as Britain. And I remember I went to grade school with this girl who came in telling us a story about how she lived in Australia. She was born and raised there up until that point. And she came here and it was like her fourth to fifth day of school. And her mother forgot that she needed to switch the sides of the road. So she was just like driving down the street on the wrong side of the road. Everybody. What about the war made the biggest impact on you?
Oh, I suppose the biggest impact was the experience of being lifted out of your existence in Montana as a civilian around the job you did and the way you lived and going into military life where you belonged to a company or a battalion, and everything that you did was monitored. You weren't able to do nothing on your own. You did it. Somebody's told you what to do all the time.
How would you sum up your service?
Oh, I rather enjoyed it. But I did manage to fall into one of the, I guess the best way you could say, how extreme, what an extreme change it was for me, a kid from Montana, to be thrust into dealing with important people worldwide. You didn't realize when you were talking to them, my gosh, here's a guy that, or a woman that's important.
Yeah. I guess, what did the service mean to you?
It was a good experience. It taught me to, feel what rules there are in civilian life. Kathy keeps me straight on that. I was going down the road a little too fast, and she was telling me about it.
What image from your service sticks with you the most? In other words, if you could take a mental picture or take a Polaroid picture, what image would you share?
I think the thing that made the biggest impression on me was that every Saturday on a military post, you had a parade. And everybody had their best bib and tucker on. And your shoulders were up and you walked straight and the band was playing. And you got a terrific, at least I did, a thrill about that. You were a part of a movement or a purpose, and it made you feel good.
Clearly, for obvious reasons, you probably wouldn't be able to go back now. But if you were able to, would you do it again?
Oh yes, I'd do it again, I'd do it again like nothing. Yes, I had quite an experience.
Would you encourage family members to join the military?
I'd encourage any young man to go into the military. It would prepare him for later life. It'd teach you something. I'd like to pick every hooligan. Unfortunately, we have some young hooligans in this country. I'd like to pick them up, put them with a good first sergeant, and I guarantee you, in a week, he'd be a different man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they need.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? One question left.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that Hollywood's portrayal on the war is sufficient?
None of it's straight like it was in the war. At least that I've seen. Even if it's a John Wayne movie, it's not like it was.
Yeah, we were talking in class specifically how the John Wayne movies are always romanticized and so, you know, I'm a big tough American and
yeah.
But it really wasn't. Talking about movies again, have you seen Saving Private Ryan?
No.
Yeah, we have that.
So what is it?
Saving Private Ryan.
We got that, yeah.
Okay.
In my opinion, I mean, from comparing a John Wayne movie to that movie, I think the portrayal has gotten a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot more graphic and a lot more real-time of how people actually felt.
Uh-huh.
In fact, there was actually stories of when they premiered that movie, how a lot of World War II vets went to see or were invited to the premiere, and they left halfway through it crying.
Hmm.
Did they? Oh. Could be.
Especially the ones who were on the front line,
yeah.
The home front.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a strange thing has happened. There is no such thing as the front lines anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No.
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 It's all scattered guerrilla warfare now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind, different.
Mm-hmm.
A different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'd like to add that what you're doing in your school, I guess it is, that's asking or conducting these interviews with various veterans around Montana is a good thing. What you're going to be able to do is teach some of the younger generation what it was. You're going to get a little bit of an insight as what it was like. I was privileged to wind up the way I did and have the job I did. Not everybody gets that.
Right.
But it portrays the service. I think it's a great thing. It's improved so much now. You get an education when you get in the service now, for free. Plus your groceries and your clothes. And you get a few bucks to spend besides. I think it's a great thing.
Well, it's the American military's way of persuading people to enlist, especially after Vietnam, no one wanted to enlist.
No. No, they didn't. The only thing the military should do, or that Congress should do, is raise the pay for the military foot floggers. You'd get more of them. You'd take a lot of these young fellas off the street that are turning into hooligans because that's the way they live.
Do you feel that they should reinstate the draft?
They should reinstate the draft. I believe in it. They should take these young kids off the street that are mismanaged now and give them a purpose. And what do you do for these young fellas? You put them in a barracks like the rest of us were, and you relegate them. You make them feel like men again, not hooligans. That's my thinking.
Yeah, personally, I in times like this, I mean, I have a lot of different thoughts about the war going on right now. I definitely don't think it's anywhere I'd want to be for at least right now, because I really don't see the meaning in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not in this one anyway. And there are people like me though who I don't feel like I'm a hooligan. I went through school. I never got in trouble. But I think a lot of it has to do with parenting.
Mm.
But, you know, if there was a way to, you know, separate, like you were saying, separate them or, you know, even these juveniles, put them through, that do get in trouble, put them through boot camp and later put them through the military, then yeah, that'd be great.
Sure. They turn around. They change. They'd find out. All you need's a tough first sergeant and let them go. Let them go. But yeah, that's a hard one to push across. You can't. Pretty hard to do. With the kind of pay they give these guys. Now, they don't mind raising the pay for all these high-powered politicians, but let's raise the pay for some of these growlers that could be in the service. Instead of giving them $75 a month in all their clothes and groceries, give them $500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you'd see the ranks swell right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. Well, we sure do appreciate what you've done. And I hope it's a successful thing that you people are doing.
Yeah, basically. You know, you guys are dying 1,000 a day, so.
Well, I was just going to mention that. You better hurry up, because we aren't going to be around
anymore. Yeah, so. Part of it is that fact that, you know, there's a lot of stories that haven't been told. And in a lot of ways, all that's been said about World War II is, you know, the obvious. And in many ways, like the romanticized viewpoints, like the John Wayne thing. But you don't get the whole picture.
No, no, you don't. No, no. That's right. You really don't. That we wore, this was Schaaf's own shoulder patch. Every soldier that was connected with Schaaf had this on his shoulder.
Okay.
And this is a transfer.
Okay.
Maybe, I think this guy, I think the people that make these, and I don't know who that one might be, would probably be able to make another, but that's probably the last one now. Here's, this is the one I got. I'm going to keep that.
So, since this time it's recording, when you explain what Schaaf was, if you could do it now, because it's recording.
Oh, sure, I'll do it now. This one. Do you want me to tell what it is?
Yeah.
This was Schaaf, which was Supreme Headquarters, Allied Expeditionary Forces. Eisenhower was in command of that corps, and this was the shoulder patch that he wore and everybody else that was connected with it.
Okay. Is there any significance about the flaming sword?
Well, that was a sword of victory.
Okay.
And that's why it was wrote with the flames on it, or pictured with the flames on it. That was Schaaf's headquarters shoulder patch.
Okay.